Greetings. This is Stefko Sarasevic. The lecture is about search engines and digital libraries. And today, I'm sipping a juice from sour cherries of all the places from Bulgaria. I bought it at some international store, and it's pretty good. Here are the central ideas for the lectures. As a searcher, you're using two things, or should be using two things. Search engines on one hand and digital libraries on the other, and they're not that different when it comes to searching. For search engines, while the structure and basic operations are similar, there is a great number of variety that exists way beyond Google. And many of these search engines have their own features. Many of them are in specialized domains. As to digital libraries, they have incredibly rich and varied resources for use in accessing and searching a variety of databases and reference tools. And particularly, they are there to access journals for full text. Well, here is a truism. Knowing searching is also knowing these resources. As usual, we start with the table of contents. We have altogether 43 slides. Seven of these are title slides, so we have 36 content slides. Search engines have 28 slides, and digital libraries 11 slides. So let's start with search engines. We will talk about definitions and how they work and about diversity. Dictionary definitions, search in computing means to examine a computer file, disk, database, or network for particular information. Dictionary definition of engine is something that supplies the driving force or energy to a movement's system or trend. And search engine made into the dictionaries as well. And it's defined as a computer program that searches for particular keywords and returns a list of documents in which they were found, especially a commercial service that scans documents on the internet. Oh, well, about this last definition. Search engines do not search only for keywords. Some search for other stuff as well. And they're not really engines in the classical sense. But then, the mouse is not a mouse. Here is an illustration of the use of search engines. The young lady comes up to the guru on the mountain and asks the meaning of life. And he says, wait a minute, I'll try to find it on the internet. Oh, well, okay. This is a brief illustration of how search engine works, and we will discuss quite a bit later. Anyhow, a caller goes to the web and identifies certain URLs, in this case identified two, and missed two, and we'll be talking about these missed web links as deep web. The indexer indexes this and ends up in the search database. A person asks something about eggs, and the search engine returns the eggs, and you get it from this full description from this URL. Anyhow, let's go to details. How do search engines work? Let's elaborate on that. The first element in search engines are crawlers, or spiders. They go out to find content. And they go out in various ways to the web looking for new and changed sites. They're automated. They don't go out for each query. Some people think, you know, when you ask something, the search engine will go out. No, they don't. They go periodically, and no search engine that I know of works in real time. I don't think there is any. Some search engines do it for themselves, others do it not. They buy content from other companies. For a number of reasons, the crawlers do not cover all of the web, just a fraction. And what they don't cover, we call invisible web. Well, the next thing that they do after they crawl, they organize content. They label, they arrange, they index for searching, and that's also done automatically. They do keywords in other fields. They arrange by URL popularity. For instance, PageRank is a well-known method by Google that ranks popularity of URLs. Some of them classify as directory, and most of this classification is human handpicked and classified. As a matter of fact, Yahoo started as a classified directory, which was where the URLs were classified by people and still are. So, as a result of this, how they organize the content, we have different, basically several kinds of search engines. We have one that a search where the input is a query and then it's searched and displayed. The other one is a directory, which is a classified content, and a class is displayed. And of course, that there is a fused one. Directories have now also search capabilities and vice versa. It took a number of years and the competition by Google before Yahoo has also included the capability for search and not only provision of directory. After that, the databases go and the search engines go and create databases and caches. They store content. These are humongous files, usually distributed over many computers. And it's kind of interesting to note that one of the close-kept secrets by each search engine, particularly Google and Yahoo, is how many computers they are actually using. And they, in many cases, they jerry-rig many smaller computers to create something that is similar to a supercomputer. The next thing that they have is a query processors. That processes your query, does searching, retrieval, and displays, takes your query in, as input and displays a ranked output. And some engines also have as an output cluster, and some engines provide visualization. At the other end of this whole process is your browser. And in addition to Explorer, a number of other exist. I am favorably using Mozilla Firefox, but found out that it doesn't work very well with eCollege, or eCollege doesn't work well with Mozilla Firefox. All searches have these basic parts in common, but there are quite a few similarities, but quite a few differences. The actual processes, how they do it, are based on various algorithms. They differ. Most of these algorithms are proprietary, with details kept deeply secret, but based on well-known principles for information retrieval or classification. To some extent, and I stress this to some extent, Google is an exception. They published their original method, but they don't publish any further. Anyhow, here is a case of Google, developed by two then young students, Sergey Brin and Lawrence Page. Sergey was originally from Moscow, and they were students at Stanford. And in the beginning, they ran on Stanford computer, and they took so much space that Stanford kicked them out. And then they started their own computer company. Basic approach has been described in their famous paper called The Anatomy of a Large-Scale Hypertextual Web Search Engines, and there are a number of varieties of this paper on the web. It's a well-written paper, it's simple language, it has even their pictures, so take a look at it. It's interesting to note that in acknowledgement, not in all versions, in some versions, they cite the support by the National Science Foundation Digital Library Initiative. As a matter of fact, initially, Google came out of a government-sponsored research. They describe their method, PageRank, in this paper, which is based on ranking hyperlinks, as in citation indexing. So they used the concepts from citation indexing in developing the searching mechanism of PageRank. And here is their quote. We choose our system name, Google, because it's a common spelling of Google, or 10 on 100 power. No engine covers more than a fraction of web. As a matter of fact, there are no current studies, but the oldest one from a few years ago that did it estimated that none engine covers more than 16%. It is impossible, not hard, really impossible to discern and compare coverage of search engines. But they do differ. So they differ substantially in what they cover. This is another kept secret. What is it that they cover? In addition, we have many national search engines. They have their own coverage, orientation, and governance. We have great many specialized or domain search engines. They have their own coverage geared to subject of interest. And we have many comprehensive sources independent of search engines. And some of these sources have compilation of evaluated web sources. So what I'm really saying is that in addition to the well-known search engines, there is quite an array of other engines and sources that is very useful for searching and for retrieval. Substantial differences among search engines exist on how they search, how they retrieve, and how they display. So we need to know how they work and differ in respect to defaults in searching a query, in searching of phrases, in searching of different fields, in advanced search capabilities, in possibilities for refinement using relevance feedbacks, in display options, in personalization options, and so forth. Greg Notes is a librarian that follows the web and has its own site, and it's interesting to look at the chart that he displays about the features of search engines. Here is his chart, and it's consulted on your own, and you will see that they describe what does as default Google do versus Yahoo and so forth. There are several business models, and they're very different and they operate differently. There is one business model is search engines that work for public good. They have an independent budget. PubMed is a search engine in medicine, National Library of Medicine, supported by the US government. Librarians Index to the Internet, it's a private organization, basically supported by foundations and similar money. Then there are search engines, and the ones that we know and love, like Google, they earn revenues for provision of information of some kind, particularly advertising. All commercial search engines do that. That's how they live. That's how they make their fortune. And there are search engines, such as Telephone Directory, that use search engines to promote their other activity, namely the telephone directories. There is a huge difference in sponsorship, and we need to understand the treatment of sponsorship. They influence what the search engines do, how they search, and how they display results. Some of them list separately results from sponsor sites, so you are reasonably clear what is there, what is sponsored or not. But even in Google, sometimes this is not clear which one is a sponsored result and which one is not. Some of the engines, and they don't tell you that, have display per pay. That means that they show first the sites that paid most, and they don't tell you that. And some of them have pay per update sites. Remember that they go and crawl, so there are some search engines that you can pay, and they will crawl you more often. So it is imperative to find sources that explain these commercial models for different engines to know what is covered and what you are getting. Limitations. Every search engine, every single search engine has a number of limitations. For instance, on coverage, they have limitations, and their meta engines just follow coverage limitations and have more of their own. So meta engines have the same limitation as the coverage, and one has to be really careful in their use. They have limitations on search capabilities, and they have the greatest limitation in finding quality information. Some search engines have compromised search with the economics and become little more than advertisers. But search engines are also many times victims of spam indexing, and we'll discuss it next, affecting what is included and ranked. It's a battle. Spamming a search engine is a battle. Spamming means using of techniques that push rankings higher than they belong. That's called spam indexing. Metas typically include textual as well as link-based techniques. Like email spam, spam search engine spam is a form of adversarial information retrieval. I don't know if you heard that term, but there is information retrieval that research and practice that deals with adversarial information retrieval. Well, the conflicting goals and accurate results of search providers and high positioning by content page rank. Search engines are constantly battling this with their own special and very, very secret tools. But there is a flip side, and I don't have a slide for this that I want to mention to you. A number of companies now that depend on online business or online presence have special units, people, and even offices where they try to develop methods by which they will place higher their engines, their products, and their systems. And many searchers who are professional searchers are now finding employment in online companies to do placement research and placement professional services. There are a number of sites that provide search engine features and reviews and tutorials. Here is, we already mentioned, Greg Notes, librarian, and he produces a search engine showdown, and he has general news, and here, for instance, he talks about, in this issue, about Google search quality, and has great many other news in relation to search engines. He has charts, he has reviews, he has tutorials, and all the other things. Here is an interesting search feature chart with explanations from Search Engine Watch, and they provide you, for instance, what commands they are to be used, what can be searched in terms of fields, and so forth. Well, how to find the search engine? As I mentioned, there are tons of them. There is a site called Search Engine Guide that categorizes search engine by topic and provides other engine informations. An interesting site is called Search Engine Colossus. It's an international directory of search engines by country, by topic, from 351 countries and so on. And Phil Bradley, who is a internet guru, has his own country-based search engines and listing over 4,000 search engines in all kinds of places. So if you are interested in the Bosnia and Herzegovina, well, you can find there are 13 search engines there, and you can choose which one you can search. So quite a few of these, even country-based search engines, operate in English. So if you have special, particularly international kind of searches, these other search engines, other than Google, would be extremely helpful to use to gear you toward a relevant search engine. Well, all questions are not created equal. So the question comes up, for a given question, what engine, what resource to use for what kind of questions or information need. And we have a number of exhaustive classification. Again, let's go back to Phil Bradley. And he has suggestions as if you have a given kind of a question, such as I know what I'm looking for, he recommends these search engines. If you have these factual answers, he recommends these, and so forth. This is an interesting one. Choose the best search for your information need by Noodle Tools. And here what you find is that you, if you need a topic, if you need a scope of my topic, and so on, and among others, for instance, if you need to understand the scope of a topic, they recommend InfoMine, And Infomine is a very interesting and useful specialized search engine that does scholarly internet resources collections. It's much more specialized than Google and provides you search results for these various fields. I like this one, the best search tool chart by InfoPeople. And in this one, it describes you for a selected search engine what it is, what they you can use them for, and so forth. For a while, meta search engines have been quite popular. They're using their luster and popularity for a number of reasons. They have limitations. And meta search engines are the ones that search multiple engines at the same time. They get combined results from a variety of engines. They don't have their own databases. They have their own business model. And of course that affects. And a number of interesting techniques are used, among them clustering, statistical analysis, and so forth. And here are a sample of them. You can click and choose. One of the interesting one is Clusty. Here's the opening page that looks not that far removed from what Google looks like. But once you get the results, they're clustered. It's interesting, I just learned from my granddaughters that Clusty is the search engine that is approved by their school district that kids can search. Don't ask me why. Then there is a large directory. It's not really a search engine. It's a humongous directory called Complete Planet. It has 17,000 databases and specialty search engine, and as all directories, it's classified. If you never use Kartu, use Kartu to get display by topics. The newest kid on the block that came out last year is called Cuil. Cuil is knowledge in Irish or something. And their claim was Cuil searches more pages on the web than anyone else, 3 times as many as Google and 10 times as many as Microsoft. Well, I don't know if it holds after very flamboyant the beginning. They kind of settled down and they basically didn't deliver what they claimed, at least in my ex. Well, there are also multilingual search engines, multilingual retrieval search engines. EuroSeek search in a number of languages for obvious reason, because Europe has so many languages. All the web provides you results in 45 languages. So, where can you find out information about search engine, or what goes on, what are the news, what are tips of searching, and more? Well, what I would like to recommend that you regularly consult these, and here is an example. This is a search engine showdown that I already showed you, and I recommend this highly to follow. But here is another one that is interesting, and it is not at all geared toward professional searchers or librarian. It's geared toward library professionals, legal professionals, and it's called Virtual Chase, and it has elements such as it has entries such as evaluating the quality of information on the internet, and it's very interesting to follow. Oh, what do they say? They're well organized and succinct to the point. Sidelines is a blog written by Rita Wine, a professional librarian and web search trainer, and she has many, many evaluations in there. In her archive. Greg Price, a librarian and author of the very, very successful book, Invisible Web, has a resource shelf and extended archives where you can search and find and find information about a variety of archives. He also has, for instance, what he calls deep archives. And among others, for instance, in this issue, he discusses digital archivists that are now in demand. So if you are into digital archivists, in the digital archives, you can consult this particular issue of Research Shelf. Well, here's a picture of active searching search engines that I shamefully borrowed from Picasso, and somehow it seems to me right. Okay, now we are going to the part two of the lecture, and this is about digital libraries. And it'll be pretty soon quite evident why did I connect this particular one with the lectures on search engines. Digital libraries, what are they? Well, they're viewed from several perspectives, and what we are interested in is two perspectives. One is a technical, and the other one is institutional. The technical came from the computer science community, and Dick Arms, who published the first book on digital libraries, and now it's available online, defined the digital library as a managed collection of information with associated services where information is stored in digital format and accessible over a network. A much more complex definition was provided by the Digital Library Federation. And it says digital libraries are organizations that provide the resources, including the specialized staff, to select, structure, offer intellectual access to, interpret, distribute, preserve the integrity of, and ensure the persistence over time of collections of digital works so that they are readily and economically available for use by a defined community or set communities. Of course, it's a mouthful, but it has the ingredients. It really looks at digital libraries not only as a digital resource, but it looks also as a complex institution that has the staff, that has resources, and what is most important, that has persistence. So that they are readily and this is very important, and economically available for use by a defined community or set of communities. Here's a bit of context. Digital libraries have a short, but quite volatile history and a phenomenal growth. Research and development took by the start of mid-1990s, so digital libraries are now in their early teens. And from the next decade, this growth to get to the teen age was phenomenal. It's worldwide. And there is a large investment internationally in all countries in research and development and in keeping up. Digital libraries are not only a province of libraries. There are a number of communities involved. Computer science community is primarily involved in research. Library information science community, it's in operations and the studies of users and usability. And you have great many subjects, for instance, from Greek antiquity studies that have digital libraries in their own domain. The diversity is large. Many institutions, for instance, museums, develop their own digital libraries. And here you can see a delightful site. It's called the Museum of Online Museums, where you can go and search what they have in all kinds of museums around the globe and find, again, resources for searching and for your users. Okay, let's talk about digital libraries and digital resources. Particularly research and academic and special libraries have invested massive and ongoing funding toward electronic journals, databases, electronic reference sources, toward digitization of part of collections. And Rutgers University Library has substantial holdings and expenditures in all of these. I just talked recently with Mian Wilson, and she tells me that by now about 40% of Rutgers University libraries goes toward electronic databases and journals. So just a few years ago, at the beginning of the millennium, it was about 5 or 10%. Now it's 40, and probably in a few years it's going to be 70 or 80%. So thus, these digital libraries, because of holding that many digital resources, are becoming, in effect, digital libraries, or more accurately, hybrid libraries. Rutgers University Library is a hybrid library. It has substantial digital resources, but it has also its traditional resources. And they have all kinds of graphic and digital versions or types of resources. What I'm going to emphasize here is the large academic research digital libraries that are also related to searching. And includes in this discussion is provision of search capabilities and access to databases, electronic journals that provide full text, and digital reference sources. Such libraries, to extent, have become search portal of sorts. It's essential for their users, and it's essential in education, in research, and related activities. In effect, digital libraries, including Rutgers libraries, have become their own search engines. Here is a sample of digital libraries. New York Public Library Digital Collections is humongous, and it particularly is a great way to rare and unique collections that they have. You can access these digitized collections, great many of them. Databases, you have to be a member of the New York Public Library. University of California has huge digital library collections. The British Library, an interesting example, it prides itself as explore the world's knowledge. And it has a great many resources, digital resources, and among others, it has online galleries. And here is where they provide you what kind of online galleries they have. The ones that I really like a lot is this one, where they have turned the pages. They also have, as you can see, one of the quite popular galleries and so forth. So let's take a look at the turn the pages demo. Which is my favorite because it's so ingenious. And here is a little video that shows you how they have digitized the works and the rare works and rare books, and that you can examine and turn the pages, examine it in different ways, zoom on it, zoom on different aspects and see it. So what this provides, it's to scholars and students access to resources that before were really kind of locked and accessible only to the very select few. The New Zealand Digital Library is an interesting example, and among others, it provides humanitarian and UN collections, and it provides a provision, Greenstone, as free software for digital libraries. So if you are building a digital library, you can take the software from it, from New Zealand Digital Libraries, and build it. Public Library of Science, it's a non-profit organization of scientists, and they publish open access journals. And closer to home, great New Brunswick Free Public Library has its own site with resources and databases, and great, great many public libraries have their own. Rutgers Libraries, the digital components of Rutgers Libraries, they are rich and they're complex. There are several hundreds, close to about 300 indexes and databases for searching. There are some 20,000 electronic journals. There are 1,000 or more digital reference sources. There are subject guides in great many subjects. There are search paths and other tutorials, electronic reserves. And it turns out that Rutgers Library, when it became digital to such an extent, it has affected teaching, learning, research by the whole community. It affected you and affected me. As a matter of fact, as I probably mentioned, I haven't been to Rutgers Library for a long time. No, that's not true. I was there not long ago to get, of all the things, a book. And but before that, probably not 2 or 3 years. But I'm there every day. And so are a great many other members of the Rutgers community. There is a strategic planning document in developing digital access, and it's worth taking a look at it. There are some critical issues as to federated searching. For instance, when you search Scopus, you search the whole thing. But when you search databases and digital libraries, we usually have to search one at a time. Rutgers University Libraries has Searchlight, automatically searches only 8 major databases, but you can also do advanced searching and that will search a group of databases. However, the output is not federated. You get output separately from each database and then you have to look at it separately. Well, finding items in indexes does not mean that you will always be able to get full text. Thus, searching is time-consuming, chaotic, and it always is, and it always probably will be. Information about digital libraries for searching you can find in a number of places. LibWeb. Web lists currently some 7,900 pages from libraries in over 146 countries, so you can take a look what libraries are digital content in any of the countries. Digital Library Federation is a consortium of libraries and related agencies that are pioneering the use of electronic information technology to extend their collections and services. Digital Library Magazine is a monthly electronic magazine, free, that focuses on digital libraries and is well worth consulting. And for instance, every month it has a features digital collection. This month it deals with penguins and polar bears, and you can also search these collections. You can go to their archives and find digital collections over the ages. Ariadne is a serious magazine from the UK that talks about or reports about information services, information networking issues worldwide. Journal of Digital Information is that which the name implies. It publishes paper on the management. Toolkit for the expert searches. It's an interesting site. And it provides all kinds of expert guides, for instance, how to do new searching, global searching, multimedia searching, how to do the invisible web, and so forth. And finally, the expert web search tips provides you a number of articles from the Living Internet site about how to do searching, about the logic of Boolean algebra, question and answer searches, use not to exclude searches, search for wildcards, and it provides you a comparison test for search engines. So let us get to the end. Search engines are great, but you have to know what is under the hood. You have to know as to coverage, as to business model, as to search features, as to outputs. And they're not, repeat, not for every kind of information need. The world does not end with Google. The searching world does not end with Google. And the digital libraries are also great for searching. Not only the search engines, but that which you have in digital libraries are great for searching. But you have to know the requirements for searching of different resources that are included. And as I mentioned, federated searching is limited. At the end, here is two pictures of Art of Searching from Picasso that I think represent Art of Searching of digital libraries. And here are some of the rewards, and those of you who are listening only to MP3 are not getting these rewards, okay?